Piers, I record it, is recording. Say something.
Something.
Guten Tag.
Hello and welcome to this month's ego. Everybody's got one, an opinion, an arsehole, and a boss haircut. Have you got a boss haircut, Nick?
You know I haven't got a boss haircut.
You haven't got a boss haircut. It's like a hedgehog has shat on your head. And you are one of the team. You're part of the rolling roster. You're not a guest anymore. We have Ryan from my two favourite podcasts in the world, Theme Park Trader and...
The Customer Is Always Weird.
Firstly, I'd just like to start this episode off by saying, Craig, go fuck yourself. secondly, how can they be your two best favourite podcasts when you can't even remember the name of one of them?
Because I wanted him to introduce it himself. It was
just a little segue for me, I think.
Yeah, it was a segue. Stop pissing on me chips.
I would like to actually thank. I was going to do it in the private message earlier, but I wanted to thank Ryan personally because I'm just listening. I'm not finished yet, but I'm probably about three quarters of the way through the Walt Disney World episode, and it was a tribute to me quite in the beginning when you did a My Wife.
Oh, yes,
yeah. I heard that.
Obviously not a Borat reference. Obviously, that was purely a nod to me. So,
it's like a nod within a nod. So, I thought I'd give you the credit.
Oh, bless you, very kind.
There's that many little in nods on all these podcasts going on now. I love
We're like an inbred team of podcasters now.
Yeah. We all just sleep in the same bed.
Also, this is the first one that I'm actually officially part of the team. So,
yeah. Excellent. Yeah. That bloody song. In your face, whoever.
Is this your second or third appearance, Ryan?
This is my second on Ego.
So you've done two more than me and Malibu this year. Okay, just checking.
Right, what's everyone drinking? I'll go to Nicholas.
I've got two of these left. Hang on. Oh, gee, I can't open it. World Cup Bud, there you go. It's those stupid screw tops on the aluminium bottles, so that's why they didn't make much of a fizz, and that's why it was hard to open. But yeah, one down, one to go.
Come on, Ryan.
I've got a Recorder League strawberry and lime cider, so cheers.
Oh, nice. I'm drinking half a pint of red wine.
Oh,
God. See where this episode's going to go.
What could possibly go wrong? There's been a lot of bad karma going round, hasn't there, recently?
I've not eaten Indian for quite a while, actually.
I had the karma last night. Fucking right, went right straight through me. My ass is like the Japanese flag. Anyway, so what did everyone think of the World Cup? That World Cup episode, top shout to Adam Buxton for giving us permission to use his song.
Aye.
What did you think of the World Cup? Come on.
I loved it. I think it's probably my favourite World Cup that I've ever seen. The first one I remember was 98, but I think this is my favourite.
Yeah, it's definitely my favourite, I think, of modern times. I can't remember a World Cup where it was as open as it was. Obviously, England had a very good tournament, which I put money on now. Not to win, obviously, just to qualify at the group stages. But, I mean, they had a good tournament, but the team, you with a World Cup, you think, you know, it's going to be Brazil, or it's going to be Germany, or it's going to be Argentina, or it's going to be Spain. And like, you just saw all these giant teams just fall by the wayside because
didn't
they weren't
very
good.
Didn't he go all there, Jogi?
Well, yeah. Bet in play, what's the latest odds? Oh, Jonesy, I've changed my mind to the turncoat. That is not as good as Japanese Liam Neeson. But no, I mean, it was a very good tournament. All in, I think for England fans, it was a very good tournament. For the neutral fan, it was an excellent tournament. So many good games, so many unpredictable games. The only thing I didn't like too much was that, especially in the early games, there seemed to be this real increase in hugging at corners and throwing people to the ground.
Yeah, the one thing that spoiled it for me was just, and somehow I don't know how it's not illegal, it's just, well, let's just call it the Neymar roll.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
If he is to ever roll ever again after the way he has been mocked mercilessly on the internet, then he deserves everything that's coming to him. Some of the stuff that he was, the stunts he was pulling, he wasn't match fit. He had the hope of a nation on his shoulders. He's obviously highly immature. Okay, fair enough, he's a multimillionaire and he can piss in my face whenever he wants. But no, there's a way of doing things. He's not a classy player. He's not a player I would want in my team. He's an arsehole.
I'd say the shame about it is that Mbappe is starting to behave a little bit like that because he plays alongside him.
Yeah.
He's not as bad, but there was a few where he was taking the piss.
When you've got school kids in a school team putting a video out of the coach blowing a whistle and they all go down and do a Neymar and there's 30 kids rolling around the pitch, that's not an example. Yes, it's been done for comedy effect to mock him. Hopefully, I personally loved the introduction of VAR. Now, some decisions were wrong, including the one in the World Cup final.
Oh, that penalty was a penalty. I'm sorry. No, that was a penalty.
See, This is where we're torn. That is it's an unsighted ball coming over with a French player in front of him. It comes, the French player misses it, and it bounces off his arm.
Nah, Croatian are dirty bastards. He meant to do that.
Yeah, he moved his arm. And also as well, I mean, the one thing that, I mean, obviously it's a bit biased now, but in the Croatia game, there were so many times you thought, oh, someone will call it out on VAR, and it wasn't used once.
Yeah.
It was quite remarkable. Like, you've got games where you'd argue it was used too much, but in games like in Croatia, it was like, it didn't get used at all. I mean, that ref that game seemed to have...
He was shy.
Well, he seemed to be embarrassed of his cards.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that, that was the reason why England didn't go through. England didn't beat Croatia because they frankly had run out of steam by that point. But they'd have had more of a chance and might possibly scraped a result had the referee not been as shit as he was. But he was, and that was it. It's football.
Yeah. I mean, I saw something earlier where with the French team, obviously fantastic, but they left the likes of Benzema and like there's like three or four others that you think, shit, how are they not in the first team? Like their team, the team choice they've got is just ridiculous. So like on paper, I'm not surprised that they won, but I feel like they kind of deserved it after missing out on the Euros to Ronald last time.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think England would have, if they had a beat Croatia, would have got smacked in the final.
Oh yeah, we would have lost
by Croatia, by France, like just like Croatia did. So to be honest, like I'm happy where England came. Gareth Southgate, what a legend!
What a man!
I mean, just as a human being, what a great bloke. And I tell you, the two things that stick out for me, actually, the main thing that actually sticks out for me, Gareth Southgate, is going up to that Colombian player when he missed the penalty.
Yeah,
and it was just like, it was one of those touching things because of where he was 22 years ago, and knowing what that felt, and going up and consoling him. That's the true spirit of like a decent person to go and do that.
I agree, especially after the way Colombia played. I mean, they don't deserve to be in any major tournament for the foreseeable future after their shocking tactics.
Colombia were phenomenal.
What?
As a neutral, because I am a neutral, I loved all their gamesmanship, that the stunts they were playing, the coach elbowing, Sterling.
That was so bad.
It was blatant. It was so blatant. Bad.
But in the Premier League, they would have said, right, your staff's not coming back for the second half.
Exactly. Yeah. So it did highlight a lot of shortcomings, but they were allowed to get away with it. Going back to Gareth Southgate, there hasn't been, there isn't an England manager that deserves the respect that he holds that job in since Bobby Robson.
Yeah, I mean, I think
I would agree.
The only person that for me came close was El Tel. who obviously went
King of the brown envelopes. He was literally getting done for tax evasion and everything while he was England manager.
I think the manager's for you, innit? But what I mean is, I mean, as an actual personality and as an actual manager, take that stuff out of the way. Whatever. But, yeah, I agree. I don't think there's been anyone close. And the one thing as well is that every tournament, even when we had Sven in, when we had Capello, every major tournament England got through to, the start of the tournament, the press would immediately be out, like mouth drooling, waiting for England to like fuck up, basically, yeah. So they could relay into them. You never, like in our lifetime, because I mean, I barely remember, you know, I remember 90, but only just about, don't remember what the press coverage was like. But every tournament since then, they've been gunning for them. And this was the first tournament where the press hadn't jumped on them before the tournament started. And I think that also probably helped.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I love the Panama.
Go on, Kat.
Do you remember the Panama game where they, I don't know if you saw the interview afterwards, but they were like, oh, it's, what was it, 6-1? And they were like, so Gareth, what did you think? And he was like, well, I was disappointed. And I loved that. Like, it's not some like manager that was just like, yeah, we played excellently. He was like disappointed that they got that goal and weren't going to the top of the weren't guaranteed to go through top. I just really like him. He's really down to earth, and I tell you something he does that a lot of the other managers don't is he actually seems to give a shit about the players. Like when everyone's coming off, he's like giving them a proper hug, and he just seems to give a shit. Whereas a lot of them just kind of have the casual nod, like don't really care.
Yeah, it's more than a job for him.
Yeah.
I think he knows, as an ex-player, he knows what it feels like. And especially one that had the career that he had and the heartache that he did and the expectation of a nation weighing on his shoulders. He knows exactly what's going through all of those players.
Yeah, but he got free pizza for life.
That is very true. Let's never forget that pizza advert. But no, you know what? Very positive tournament for England. I really think that the Euros, they could really be a threat. And the last thing I'll say on it is that, you know, there was a lot of people who turned around. I mean, arguably, I think we all felt the same, that this was the best chance England had of getting to a World Cup final because of Croatia being good but not outstanding, not being as big a club, a bigger team as a Brazil or an Argentina or anyone like that or Germany. So a lot of people said, you know, if they don't get to the final, they'll never get to the final. And, you know, they've had all easy games. But you know what? Would you rather England went to a final having easy opponents, or would you actually prefer England to go to a final having beaten teams that, you know, were generally good?
It's irrelevant.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people have been sat there going, this is the only chance because of the easy games, the easy teams. But you know what? Like, to me, if you're a good team, you're going to win. That's it.
England don't generally beat anybody who's better than them. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, you're right. But that's because those teams haven't hit that stride. The problem with this team, this tournament, was that Southgate, unfortunately, I think, relied too much on what was seen as his preferred starting 11. Harry Kane should not have played, really, in that last game. He was knackered. He was barely there for the Sweden game.
Yeah.
They should have changed the tactics. He wanted to stick to it because he knew it had worked, and I think he was worried that if he changed the tactics too much, people would have called him out on it. But I think that was his downfall at the end of the day. But I think, you know, two more years, next major tournament, they've got a good chance. And they were a good team. That was the best England team I've seen play probably since, you know, looking back at footage from 90. Well,
these players need to be allowed to grow together, because in 2 years, the semis and the final is at Wembley. So they've got a real chance if they can just get that far. Mm. But when you look at the French team and you look at the Belgium team, them two teams had players that didn't make the cut who are miles above. We were an ugly team.
No, I disagree. I disagree. I think
half of them look like convicts. My point is,
okay. That's just Englishmen, though. You can't avoid that.
My point is that these England players, at best, are going to be championship players or bit part players for Premier League teams. That what's his name, who plays for Chelsea, Loftus-Cheek, absolutely outstanding for Crystal Palace last year. He's back at Chelsea now. He probably won't kick a ball this season.
It is an issue, I think, but that's maybe like a slightly issue in how the Premier League manages English players.
Yeah.
Other leagues handle it much better, and the Premier League needs to sort that out.
Yeah. You look at the French league. You look at the French leagues. You look at the German leagues. A lot of their top players are there.
Yes, exactly.
So that's what they need to do. Anyway, I think that's probably all you wanted to talk about the World Cup, wasn't it, Craig?
Yeah, it was the best World Cup I've seen since '98. It's the only World Cup I've seen since '98. Therefore, it's the best.
To be fair, it was head and shoulders above Brazil.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
Amazing. Right, come on, boys. Very quickly, I don't want to piss on your chips too much. You have both seen the Muppets at the O2 this weekend.
Not only that, we saw the same performance.
I know. I can't believe we didn't bump into each other. There's a lot of people there. But...
You should have seen Nick's head from about fucking 30 feet away. It's massive.
I wasn't Maguire. Not Harry Maguire. Like you, I imagine, Ryan, a fan of the Muppets for a long time, so I think the expectations for the gig were probably pretty high. Mm-hmm. I had, going into it, a lot of annoyance with the way that the ticketing had been handled and the attitude of it all and everything like that. You were in decent seats.
Yeah, I was quite close. I was like, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 rows in the front.
You must have paid a pretty penny for those.
Could you see Miss Piggy's bacon? You were that close.
I could see her streaks and all.
Oh. You could smell her because of the hot lights that she was...
sizzling.
Sizzling away. The show itself was a mixed bag. I legitimately cried when it started off and they reenacted like the Muppet Show opening.
Oh, it's amazing, yeah.
It was just like, it was childhood come to life. The problem is though, I had really bad hay fever. And so I started to cry a little bit.
And then my beard's knickers got caught in my arse.
And then my hay fever kicked off. So then my eyes were really irritated. So I cried even more because of my hay fever.
And then I dropped me cappuccino.
You don't get those in the O2, do you? Anyway.
18 quid, probably.
It was, yeah, it's probably about right, actually. It was, so it was a mixed bag because when it worked, I think it really worked.
Mm.
And a bit like the Muppet Show in its heyday, some of the sketches didn't work and some of them were funny. So, you know, that's the Muppet Show for you. But my biggest issue with the whole thing was the staging of it. I think it was horrendous. I don't like the O2 as a venue, full stop. I've never been a fan of the O2. I've gone there to see quite a lot of people. The only time it's really worked for me as a venue was when I went to see Prince, because he was in the round. So he was, his stage, Ryan, you know, you was obviously there the other day, his stage was slap bang in the middle of the
round,
rather than being at the end. And only a few people have done gigs in the round there. So being at the end of the stage and being the size that the Muppets are, meant unless you were sitting quite near to the stage, you were just watching the screens, you know, because of how big the Muppets actually are. So that was a bit annoying. They obviously didn't sell enough tickets. That was because of the ludicrous pricing they put out for it.
Oh, they were fucking mental. Like, I logged in, I looked at the seats near the front and I was like, I think they're about 100 quid, 110 quid each. And I was like, no way. Close it down. 5 minutes later, I was like, I'm never going to see the Muppets again, probably. So I just bought them. But I wasn't happy about it.
I'd want a hand job off Gonzo.
I paid 60 quid each for my seats, but they were right up in the gods. Yeah. They were the cheap. I think they were the second cheapest seats. I think there was seats above me even. That were a little bit less. And then within weeks of that, with the tickets going on sale, they announced a lucky dip for 49 quid, where your tickets could be literally anywhere in the O2, but for 49 quid. And I thought, well,
that's,
I paid
shit,
59
that,
and I'm sat in the gods.
49 quid lucky dip, you're behind a column.
Yeah, but no, but the thing, you can't be, but the fact is, Craig, is that the cheapest seats were £49. So the worst that you would have done was sat in £49 seats.
You're the sitting next you to the done toilet.
Is that you would have been like down the front.
I don't know. I think when I looked, a lot of the front seats were taken quite, like, those are the ones that were probably gone.
Yeah. Yeah. The rich people had those. But
I just know how to save.
A month before the event, they started doing they started doing £29 tickets for the ground level. Then and they were doing a family ticket, so two adults, two children for £80 on the floor, or like the first tier. And then and when I complained to the ticket to like AXS who were doing the tickets, they were like, no, like, you know, we can't control what Groupon sell the tickets at. They've bought them from somebody. They went, they bought them from you. You're the only, it's your event.
Yeah.
They bought them from you. And then they started selling them for £29 each. And then on the Wednesday before it happened, I got offered free tickets at the bottom.
Wow.
I only had to pay £3 booking fee per ticket. Now, the only reason I didn't do that was because I didn't see the email until the tickets had obviously gone at that price. Otherwise, even though I already had £60 each seats for £3, I'd have had better seats.
Yeah, so, that's nuts.
I'd have done that. And that goes to show just how they fucked it up in terms of organising it. Because had they sold tickets at, you know, if they charged like Disney on Ice kind of tickets.
Yeah, that's all it needed to be.
Which is about £40 or something.
Yeah.
That would have sold out. They'd have sold out three shows. Instead, they didn't. And to make it worse, the evening performance on the Saturday, they actually closed the top tier and moved everyone down to the second or first tier.
Wow.
Because of that.
So that's a shame.
It is.
That means probably that the Muppets won't come back to do a live show anytime soon.
They will not, because it didn't sell out. Sold out.
So going forward, right, from what you've seen, would you think they could sell out like Drury Lane for 6 weeks?
I think maybe a couple of weeks.
How long was the show?
About an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
2 hours tops, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. I think it was 2 hours of intermission, so about an hour and a half.
So, in the West End, as a tourist attraction, you know, like the Lion King and whatnot, with tweaking and with the introduction of a bit of ad-libbing and a bit of topical humour, do you think it could work?
It could have worked this time, and the reason it didn't work for me, and the reason why I felt so aggrieved, is that it was overpriced. And, you know, I don't think the show was worth the money.
Right. So you've got the Blue Man Group at Universal, right?
Yeah.
Put the Muppets Theatre somewhere on Walt Disney World property.
Circus of Soleil's closed.
Exactly. Circus of Soleil is obviously going to get replaced with a fucking Disney Princesses on Ice type show. Circus of Soleil, right? So it's just going to be shit. But
get rid of Beauty and the Beast on stage, put the Muppets in there, done.
Exactly. But an hour and a half show, like what you've seen, you pay, like you do Blue Man Group, would you accept that in Walt Disney World?
Yeah, I mean, I love the Muppets Present Great Moments of American History in Magic Kingdom. I think that's brilliant. Really good. More of that in Disney World, I would go nuts for.
We go and see Disney Junior in Hollywood Studios because of the kids. Honestly, because of the kids, right?
Yeah, honestly.
God love them puppeteers, because they must be doing that show 100 times a day.
Yeah.
I mean, suicide rates for that. I don't know why he's killed himself. I don't know what's happened. But literally, it must be mind-numbing. Imagine if they had the freedom to do like an hour and a half paid show, or even an hour. You'd pay for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
Oh, it'd be amazing. Put that in Disney Springs, so you don't need a park ticket, and it'd be a staple.
I think the thing with the Muppets, very briefly, is that Disney just doesn't know what to do with them. I think that's the biggest issue. that they have. That they've got so much potential, but just Disney just do not know what to do with them.
It's not fucking rocket science, is it?
No, it's really not.
Jesus Christ. Right, come on. Let's crack on. So today, I don't know whether I was having a period or something.
Probably.
You sure you just weren't bleeding from your ass?
You better ask your dog about that. Lipstick particularly...
That's not made you sound the better party in this. You know, it's not my business if my dog goes and sniffs around your arsehole.
Exactly.
Your dog's a slut, mate. A man.
I wonder what all those train tickets to Liverpool were.
In his basket.
That explains the episode title for today anyway.
Or the Groupon receipts on your credit card. I didn't buy them 14 returns to Liverpool. Oh, that means your dog's been inside me 14 times.
Well, you were clearly counting.
Well, I've got all the receipts here. He leaves the receipts here. Right, I just thought, I can't remember how it happened. I was listening to the Greatest Showman soundtrack with R. Eve.
Right. Oh, I fucking love the Greatest Showman. Right, I'm pleased to start.
What a piece of art that is.
I didn't watch it until Father's Day. Like, why to Haywire Jelly? I've been singing its praises since it first came out. And I wanted to see it, but I just never got a chance to. And then for Father's Day, I was like, right, that's it. I'm picking the film. My missus ain't really into musicals that much. Like, her favourite film, this is the irony, right? Her favourite film of all time is Grease. Doesn't like musicals. What Brilliant. The fuck? So I said, like, we're watching Greatest Showman. And, like, the first song, my daughter was singing along to it. She was obsessed. The wife was obsessed. They bought the soundtrack. They watched it again the next day. It just spiraled out of control.
Oh, I wept. I sobbed. It was one of them where R. Eve is like, Daddy...
Hang on. You sob. So you're giving me shit because I cried because Kermit the fucking Frog came out on stage and you're like, oh, Greatest Showman, I cried about Hugh Jackman.
When Kermit the Frog come out on stage, did he have a big fat fella with his hand up his arse?
No, he had quite a skinny fella with his head up his arse.
So you could literally see the puppet. Oh, that's
shit. Yeah, you could. You could see him.
Yeah, but you know what? I think it worked, you know.
I've got a huge amount of respect for a lot of the people, some of the actors behind the Muppets. I've loved a couple of them for quite some time, especially, I can't remember his name, which probably means I don't love him that
I've
much.
I've loved a couple of them for a long time. Have you, like, cut pictures out and put them all around your mirror?
I'm looking at them right now.
Wearing their skin.
Yeah.
So anyway, come on. Let's focus. So The Greatest Showman, and I thought, you know what? We're all men on this podcast, but I bet you I am. I'm literally holding my knob now. We all love a good musical.
Yep.
Yep.
So, with that in mind, I wanted us all to pick two movie-based musicals that we've seen and love, and I want to know your reasons why. I don't want to know when it was made. I don't want to know what it's about. I'm not interested. The listener can go and find that out because of your love for it. And then two live musicals that you've been to a theatre to watch. Okay? Now, the Muppets can't be included. I don't know if they sang. I suppose he did.
He did.
The latest one, I definitely did.
Yeah.
Did he do that song on the step with his nephew?
Robin was there, yeah. They did do a song together.
Fuck off, I love Robin. So, come on, Ryan, the newest member of the team. Give us your first movie-based musical that has touched you, and we want to know why. Come on.
My first one is The Wizard of Oz. It's simply because it's...
Because.
See what you did there.
Thank you.
One of my mum's favourite films. So it was kind of always on when I was a kid. Yeah. And then I've always loved it as a kid. And then The Great Movie Ride obviously had a huge scene dedicated to it. And for that reason, it's It's always a film that I go back to and watch and still love to this day. I think it's, for me, like, it's just the perfect musical.
I didn't even know it was a musical.
Yeah.
What? Well, do you sing something about a rainbow and that? But that's about it.
No.
Oh my God. You just sang a song just there that wasn't that song.
did I? No, not I. Oh my God. That has burnt me head out. Wizard of Oz, the musical. Hey Siri, is The Wizard of Oz a musical?
I found four musical selections for you to choose from.
Ah, fuck
the
off.
The Wizard of Oz, 1939. The Wizard of Oz, 2018. The Wizard of Oz, 2017.
Off,
or The Wizard of Oz, 1974. Which The Wizard of Oz?
I think we've identified that there's not just one, but four.
Siri doesn't like it when you tell her to fuck off. Yeah, fucking hell. Okay, that's... So, can you remember sitting on your potty watching it?
Yeah, I do. I do have distinct memories of watching it as a kid, because I used to be, like, shit scared of the Wicked Witch. Even though, like, even back in the 90s, the effects must have looked shit by then. But I was still petrified of the witch. I used to skip through those scenes. Fast forward on the VHS. Scarecrow was always my favourite character. It's just one of those films. It's just a great musical. It's got everything. I think it's got great songs. It's got a great villain. And it's all about going home.
I only watched it a couple of years ago. And I only watched it because I bought the Blu-ray to the follow-on that Disney put out, which
Turtles.
Amazing film, that.
It's great, isn't it?
It's Celeste's favourite film, which I've still never seen. I'm going to blow everyone's mind now. Because with The Wizard of Oz...
Just blow me dick.
With The Wizard of Oz, I'm a Craig.
What?
I have never seen it.
What?
Now... When I say that, I have seen, I've probably seen the film.
I didn't mean Return to Oz.
No, neither did I.
I meant the new one that came out the other week.
Oh, Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yeah.
That's like a shit that is.
No, what a film that is, mate.
Yeah, it is a shit film.
That is a classic.
It's a shit film. Classically shit film.
That's not a musical either.
That is definitely not a musical.
No, that's definitely not a musical.
But I've seen most of The Wizard of Oz, but never in one sitting. And I even bought the 3D Blu-ray when it got re-released for its 70th anniversary, because I thought, if I'm going to watch it, that's the way I'm going to watch it. And I've got it sitting there, and I still haven't sat and watched the whole thing. I will do. But I think it's one of those films where it's been around for so long, and it's so ingrained in pop culture that you pretty much know all the beats anyway.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay. But so I think it's just like, it's almost, I think it may be close, or if not, it is like the ultimate musical in film.
Yeah.
It's very close to being that, if it's not.
I think I can beat it with my pick, but carry on. Go on. Right, Nick, come on.
So this is movie musical, yeah?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be really controversial and say Grease 2.
What?
Grease 2.
Grease 2?
Yeah.
I've never seen Grease, so I've certainly never seen Grease 2.
Grease 2...
Electric Boogaloo.
...has some cracking songs in it.
Ryan's fucking collapsed here. He's gone into a fucking coma here.
I'm done. Actually, to be fair, I've never seen Grease 2. Grease is an alright film, but isn't like Grease 2 like universally hated as like a really shit sequel?
Well, you know what? I think the thing is, I think people now have started to, in an almost non-ironic way, have started to kind of accept it as being inferior, but still with some decent songs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, one of the songs is Reproduction. 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 You know, what other films would have a song about, you know, sex ed classes in the 1960s? It gives you Michelle Pfeiffer in probably her breakout role between that and Scarface. It's nowhere near as good a film as Grease, but
is any of the original cast in it?
I think Frenchie's in it off the top of my head.
The girl with the pink hair, right?
Yeah, I think she might. I think a couple of the teachers are still in it, but everyone else has obviously graduated from school. But it's one of those films that, I mean, I've not seen it for a long time. And when I watched it, I always was like, it's a bit poor, isn't it? But, you know, it's actually got a decent soundtrack. So, and a musical needs a decent soundtrack.
So why does this make it into your top two?
I don't think there's a lot of decent musical films.
What?
That are Showman. Yeah, The Greatest Showman is probably the best at the moment, and I figured somebody else would say it, so that's why.
You're not hearing it from me, that's for sure.
But I mean, look, you know what? If Craig doesn't say The Greatest Showman for one of his two picks, I will say The Greatest Showman instead of this one. But you know, I can't think of many decent musical films. Like, I mean, High School Musical was just a load of wank, innit?
No. I sobbed at High School Musical 3.
See, this is my point, Ryan, right?
I saw when they fucking made High School Musical 3.
Oh, God.
Exactly. That's what you should be crying about.
You should have went to pictures to see it then with your seven-year-old daughter. Then you
have seven-year-old daughters.
Well, I haven't now. I've got a 9 and a 14-year-old. But at the time, I did. And it was a beautiful, beautiful ending to a beautiful franchise. A wonderful trilogy.
Yeah, no, it's right up there with like the original Star Wars trilogy.
I've pissed and all over Star Wars.
The first three Land Before Time films.
I've never seen any of them.
Right, I've only seen the first Land Before Time. So at the moment, I'm going to say Grease 2.
Okay, Grease 2, Electric Boogaloo. Never seen it. Have you seen it, Ryan? No, you haven't.
No, I've never seen it. But I would, you know, I'd give it a go. I'm not going to say, I can't say, I know it's universally not liked that much, but I wouldn't say I'm never going to watch it and it's shit without seeing it. So I would give it a go.
Oh, cool ride, Art. It's fucking phenomenal.
Well, I mean, if there was any way that we could possibly get to see Grease 2 and any of these musicals that we're talking about on any sort of digital download, that would be amazing. Do you know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. Just putting it
there.
Yeah, because as hell I'm not paying for it.
So my first choice is Hairspray.
I've never seen the musical. I've seen the original.
Well, this
isn't a musical.
This is the thing. I've just been reading up on it a little bit, and I've said I'm not going into the science of all this shit, but I didn't know this was a film from about 87, that was turned into a stage musical, that was then turned into a movie musical.
Right, yeah, that's right. It was John Waters did the original film.
My connection with this is, again, our Eve, Daddy watched this film, no, it's a bag of shit. Daddy watched this film, no, it's a bag of shit. Daddy watched this film, oh my God, I'll watch this film. Oh,
you sure you don't just have like a secret love fantasy for Zac Efron? I mean, because it's a lot of...
Yeah, far too much Zac Efron love.
Zac Efron is a fucking diamond, mate. If he was coming round here for tea, he could have whatever he wanted on KTM's menu. Whatever. I would buy him the Tam special.
You know what's surprising? I definitely haven't seen it. I'm sure that my wife has seen it because she's the reason why Grease is a favourite film is because John Travolta is a favourite actor of all time. And I'm sure she's seen it, but she didn't rate it very much.
The soundtrack potentially is better than the film in a funny sort of way. You can have it on in the car and you know all the words to all the songs.
Yeah, but then that's a decent musical.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, that's because, and actually just like Grease, the first Grease, they were stage musicals. You know, Grease was a stage musical before it was a film. Hairspray was a stage musical before it was a film.
Yeah.
Most of these films are.
So I can't remember when I actually sat down to watch it the first time, but because of our Eve, I persevered. Fell in love with it instantly. John Travolta is brilliant in it. The topic is brilliant. Just everything about it. It's just brilliant.
I do recommend the original. I said I've not seen the musical, but I haven't seen the original film for quite a long time. But I do remember it being very good. It started. It was what made Ricky Lake famous.
Oh.
She was the teenager in that film.
And it's not a musical.
And it's not a musical. I mean, there's musical numbers in it, but it's not a musical. Like none of the songs from the musical are in Hairspray.
Oh, I need to watch that now then. So, yeah. Come on, Ryan. Let's have your second movie musical.
This is really tough for me. It was between two. But the one that I chose was South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
Oh, classic.
Because what other musical has Uncle Fucker as a song?
That is a classic song.
I don't think there's a dull or duff song in that film.
No.
Like you said that, and I'm thinking, obviously you said Uncle Fucker, and the various versions of that. I mean, I'm particularly fond of the hip-hop version of Uncle Fucker.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker!
Headheads!
Brian Boltano, who I still don't really understand who he is.
Carlton's a bitch.
Carlton's a bitch in A minor.
Blame Canada.
My favourite thing about South Park, not my favourite thing, but my favourite kind of trivia about South Park the musical is that song was nominated for the Oscar for Best Original Song that year at the Oscars.
Yes.
And you have to do a live performance of it. And I'm not sure how it all worked out, but Robin Williams did it.
Incredible.
At the Oscars. And it's phenomenal. It's exactly what you think it's going to be. It's every bit as good as you'd hope it would be. Robin Williams on stage at the Oscars singing Blame Canada. It's just one of those moments. I actually met Matt and Trey. They came over when the South Park film got released on home release, as it was back then, and I've still got the signed DVD that they signed for me.
Amazing. They for me are like two of my absolute idols. I love South Park. It's still one of my favorite shows.
Now this Craig movie has watched South Park in about 15 years. He like mocks me every time I say he should watch South Park. He does not understand how good. I mean,
it's
South
still
Park,
phenomenal.
It's no, got better with age. It's got better with age.
I'm sorry, right? I was there at the start at South Park.
So was I.
In the last century, in the 90s. I can't remember. I have erased the South Park musical from my memory, although me and Stuart had the soundtrack and loved it. I remember Uncle Fucker, I remember, and that's about it. I need to watch that film. Don't they go into hell? They go into hell.
Yeah, it is fucking brilliant.
It's like, such a good film.
Even now, like every now and again it pops up on like Comedy Central or something. And if I flick over when it's on, I will sit there and watch the rest of it. It is just brilliant.
You see, me and Stuart got into Eminem in when his breakthrough album come out.
Yeah.
We're both white boys, white middle-class boys. We're not into Dre. We weren't all brought up on the wrong side of the street and all that.
You was brought up in Liverpool, so that is the wrong side of the country.
I've never popped a cap in anyone's ass, you know what I mean? I stay up late sometimes. I leave the fridge door open just to do people's heads in. That's about it. And so Eminem and South Park were all very much of a time for us, like just before we started having kids. Like Stuart had Rebecca. When on the night Big Brother 2, Bubble got evicted. What a night. What a night of television. And that was sort of, after that, South Park and Eminem and just stuff like that just stopped being relevant almost, if you know what I mean.
You have missed some of the greatest moments of TV history over the last 15 years. Like it's still so good.
The whole Trump season was phenomenal.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Well, I'm not averse to trying to catch up. Now, my girls are older, so I've got a lot of free time on my hands to watch a lot of telly.
Craig, there's two episodes you need to... Well, I'm sure Ryan will give you more, but the three quintessential episodes you need
to
see.
Nobody expects right? A Spanish Inquisition. Are two main episodes, or three main episodes you need to see.
You need to see Simpsons Did It.
Yeah.
You need to see Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah, that one's good.
And you need to see the episode about the Mormons.
I know the one you mean.
It's the music website, actually, as well.
Yeah, it's just so good. It is brilliant. I would definitely start watching it from wherever you left off, because it does get better and better every season.
What I will say, and I did say this to Craig about South Park, because I fell out of it for a bit as well. South Park, when they did the film, I think because they were putting all their effort into that, they had to put all their effort into the film, the seasons around that time were a little bit lackluster.
Yeah.
Like around season 3, season 4, season 5, it the quality really dipped for that period, and that's where I first fell out. But around 6-7-ish, it really picked up. And even then, there were still good episodes. It was just that some of them were a bit nonsensical. Yeah.
Also, you would love the High School Musical episode, Craig. It is phenomenal.
Well,
Lord,
I need to watch them.
Yeah.
So, come on, Nick, your second movie.
I feel like I'm gonna really miss it. Like, now Ryan said that, and I didn't consider that as a musical, even though it's exactly what it is. I feel that I missed out a load of films that I probably could have chosen instead of this one, but I've picked Les Miserables.
Interesting.
I've still never seen the actual stage show. Now, I think everyone knows, like, I Dreamed the Dream because of, you know, every fucking reality singing contest has to, you know, it's in the mandate when a TV series is commissioned that's got people singing, that someone has to sing that fucking song.
I've never heard of it.
It's what Susan Boyle sung, right? But, you know, Les Mis has got some very famous songs in it anyway. And although it probably hasn't got the best cast of singing actors in it, I just think as a film, it's really nice. And I don't know if it got me at the wrong time. I was probably going through some personal shit at the time that it came out. But when I watched it, the last 10, 15 minutes, I sobbed like a baby. I've never, ever cried at a film.
Did you have hay fever?
No. But the last, like, 10, 15 minutes of Les Miserables, I absolutely wept. I was uncontrollable. I've never been like it in my life before or after. It just happened to, like, just be the right time to get me emotionally, and it really punched me right in the gut. So because I've got that strong attachment to it for that, that's why I chose it.
I've never seen it.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, fuck off. You've never heard of Les Miserables?
No, I've heard of it, but I don't know what it's about. I don't know anything about it. Nothing.
It's good. As I said, it's not got the best. You know, when you look at the people they got cast, I mean, Hugh Jackman's in it. He's obviously very good. At the same time, Russell Crowe's in it. He's not that great. He's not as bad as people say he is, but he's not great.
Hey, Tugger, we're going to fight cancer.
Oh, fucking hell. Fighting around the world. Craig, I take you back. That's the fucking episode you need to say. The Russell Crowe episode of South Park. My God.
These Chinamen can grow to be up to 5 feet tall.
You know what's so funny about it, Ryan, as well, right? When, like, I mean, this story itself isn't funny, but there was a bit of a funny bit in it. So my father-in-law got dementia really young. Like, he was about 52 when he got dementia. But at the time that he first got ill with it, that episode of South Park was on.
Yeah.
I think me and my then girlfriend, then ex-girlfriend, now wife, ex-girlfriend because she's now my wife, we'd watched it, and he happened to walk in while he was watching the episode. And so he would say, do-do-do, fighting the wolves. Now, like, I mean, that's not said in it, but it was obviously he adapted the Fighting Around the World jingle from that episode, and it was while he was still able to talk, before he lost the power to speak. And so, although it's kind of sad in that way, like, I then have that really funny memory surrounding it, because that was one of the last things that he really kind of latched onto before he really went downhill. So that episode, even now, cracks me up. I have so many good, like, thoughts about that episode. But, yeah, that's an episode you need to dig out, Craig.
Oh, it's amazing. It's one of the best.
I'm going to be busy being here, aren't I?
Oh, you are, mate. You are. Don't worry about what films you're going to be watching next. Oh, by the way, listeners, Craig actually took my advice and watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure the other day.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Go on, Craig, tell him.
It was all right, yeah, I liked it.
Fuck off. Loved it. So yeah, it's a Les Miserables, and I mean I know it's probably not the greatest movie musical, but I think it's decent enough. So.
Yeah, but it's for you. This is your reason. So there you go. So my second one is Paint Your Wagon. Clint Eastwood. Lee Marvin. No?
No.
So I'm gonna go back. And forget what I said about Grease 2. I'm going to throw in The Greatest Showman because the songs in that film are really, really good. Anyway, Gum, Craig, Paint Your Wagon.
Right, so fucking harsh. Paint Your Wagon, right, for me. I went to France when I must have been about 8, I think, with my nan and granddad in a caravan with my cousin Jason. We got the ferry down across. We drove through the suburbs of Paris. I remember seeing the Eiffel Tower. The soundtrack to that holiday was Paint Your Wagon on tape, and it used to get turned over and then turned over and then turned over and then turned over, and the songs are astronomical. And it was years and years before I seen the film, but I knew the soundtrack. Mm. And the film is wonderful. Just, it's the Wild West, it's a gold rush, it's shit. It's 1960s sometime, 69, whatever, 71, I don't know, can't remember. But for me, it's sitting in the back of my nan and granddad's car and going through Paris and just listening. Hand me down it, Ken. Have you seen it?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, mate. It's... They call the wind... Oh, there's so many. I remember a Wandering Star.
Oh.
I was born. Yeah. That's from that film.
Okay. All of these films like that, because... I mean, the thing is, like, people will be sitting there going, why haven't you said, like, Sound of Music? Because it's shit. Why have you said Singing in the Rain? Well,
never seen it.
All of those films have those musical numbers in that you might not actually realise are from those films, but you know them. Like, they've outgrown, in the same way that, like, I knew songs from The Greatest Showman before I'd seen The Greatest Showman, and I didn't realise that's where they were from.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that's what happens. Like, a song is just so good or is so popular that it kind of outgrows where it actually began. So I think that's quite common, actually, that you don't realise you know songs from the actual musicals that you haven't watched.
Definitely, definitely. So, again, I hope the listeners are... able to go and access these musicals and watch them, mock us mercilessly, and then share their stories with us of the musicals that they love. But we're going to crack on. So, Ryan.
Yeah, he is.
Are you naked?
I'm going to be in a minute because it's fucking boring in here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm literally sweating. Like, I'm going to just have to just take my trousers and t-shirt off in a minute.
Yeah, just do it.
Well, we used to do some video, Ryan. So just be grateful that we're not doing it on video.
Well, yeah. I'm lucky for you two.
I've got a lovely talent.
When we used to do it, Craig used to get at least one testicle out in every episode. We've got the screen grab somewhere.
So what is your first musical that you've paid good money to go and watch?
Or paid cheap money, because you can get decent tickets sometimes for cheap.
You can. I paid very good money for this, and is by far my favourite musical I've ever seen. And I've seen a few of them, and it is The Book of Mormon.
Oh, bastard.
Never seen it. I've listened to the soundtrack. Me and Stuart had one crazy summer, naked in the hot tub, listening to it.
Hello, my name is Elder Price. I only saw the Book of Mormon last summer. In fact, like my last two birthdays had been going out to see shows. So this year it was the Muppets was my birthday present. The same Saturday after my birthday, I saw the Book of Mormon for the first time, and I'd waited years to see it. And
it's just brilliant, isn't it? It's just so good.
It surpassed. Surpassed every expectation I had of it. Absolutely, I've never seen a musical like it.
I was just wetting myself the entire way through. It's just brilliant.
You know what I think is good about London theatre especially is that what you get is you get people that obviously want to go and see musicals and pay their money, and then you get people that go, right, I want to go and see something. What can I get a ticket for today?
Yeah.
I will queue up at a ticket office and they'll be offered the Book of Mormon and I have no idea what it's about, who wrote it, anything like that. And we were sat next to these Australian couple and they're going, oh, it's a bit more sweary than I was expecting. Like, I'm two songs in.
Was it Lewis and Kat?
Regrettably, it was not Lewis and Kat.
Was it Jane and Mike?
It was Mrs. Mango and Bouncer.
Fuck off.
Yeah, it wasn't playing Jane Superbrain. But yeah, Mrs. Mango and Bouncer. Ryan, tell us a little bit about it.
I mean, it's by the creators of South Park, Matt and Trey. For that reason alone, I had to go and see it. And it's just the most ridiculous, like, out there, I think, musical that I've ever seen. But it's hilarious from start to finish. What other musical features Adolf Hitler in hell midway through? You know, I'd say no more.
Yeah. Hasteriga League. I could never pronounce it. Even though I sing it. Salt Lake City. It's got a fucking Disney reference.
Yeah, Lion King is very close to the start, and also kick-started Josh Gad's career.
Well, that was my only thing with it. I don't know when you saw it, Ryan. I only saw it last year, but. The person who was playing, what's his name? Elder, not Elder Price.
Cunningham?
Yes. Is Josh Gad. The person I saw last year, it was like watching a Josh Gad tribute.
Yeah.
Exactly the same vocal performance.
Yeah.
Mannerisms, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, isn't a bad thing, but at the same time, I think it's nice when characters are characters rather than replicating an actor. But maybe it was so iconic in it that they wanted to kind of keep up that pretense. But that was literally, and it's not even really a negative, and that was the only fault I could find with it. I mean, it was as near as perfect a musical as I've ever seen, and I've listened to it countless times since seeing it.
Yeah, every time I listen to the soundtrack, it still has me smiling and laughing. It's just brilliant. It's just so good.
Now, you said that Matt and Trey wrote it, which is true, but who do they write it with?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Bob Geldof.
Yes. Yeah, Bob Geldof and Brian Eno. No, it was the Lopez. What are they called?
The Lopez twins?
Yeah, the Lopez twins. No.
Robert Lopez,
who him and his wife wrote songs for Frozen.
Yes, of course. I thought I'd recognise the name.
And also Coco.
Yes. Amazing.
So, you know, to write songs, the songs of the Book of Mormon with the, the lyrics and the musical styles of that, then go and Remember Me for Coco, songs from Frozen. I mean, it's just amazing to have that. So that's what I love about it is his obvious range in writing songs.
It is brilliant, and yeah, I remember the Orlando reference now, and that had me in stitches as well.
Yeah. And I live in a town where we get Mormons nearly every weekend that I go out.
Hello, Nick, I'm a Mormon.
So, honestly, like, whenever I see him pop up Hello, my name is Elder Price. And I mean, if you go and see that musical and you don't, every time the doorbell rings at your house, sing that at least in your head, there is something wrong with you.
100%.
So come on, Nick.
So my first pick is on the same wavelength, actually, because it's Avenue Q.
Never heard of it.
I've heard of it, but never seen it.
So it's very timely because Avenue Q is like an adult ripoff of Sesame Street.
Yes, that's right. I do recognise. I've just quickly googled it, and I do recognise some of the images. But no, I've not seen it.
The other thing about it is that the co-writer of that musical, Robert Lopez,
amazing.
So you can already tell the kind of nature of the songs. Like, there's a song about porn. You know, obviously, songs referencing Muppets having sex. They live on the street they live on, this Avenue Q. The person that runs the building complex all the Muppet creatures live in is Gary Coleman.
Brilliant.
He's an actor playing Gary Coleman. He's fucking brilliant. And what they did, and it's similar to when we saw the Muppets the other day, obviously you can see the people on stage with the puppets, but they're fully faced. So you can, like, so when they're moving the puppets, you can see their faces talking as the puppets. But you don't ever think something's wrong. Like, it just seems completely natural. You buy into the fact that these puppets are real people.
So it's brilliant. It's like Nemo then in Animal Kingdom.
Well, it's like Nemo if it wasn't shit. Like, in comparison, no, I like Nemo the musical, but Avenue Q is up there with like one of the funniest musicals. And just like The Book of Mormon, I've seen it two or three times. It just gets you in stitches. It is such a funny musical.
And are these musicals still out there now?
Book of Mormon is still out in London. Avenue Q, I think there's a tour of it, because I know that they're playing my local theatre next year, and I'm probably going to go and see it there, but I'm not sure if it's Amdram or not. Although, to be honest, the Amdram would be better performed than the Muppets were the other day in terms of staging. But if it ever plays near UK, go and see it. You will love Avenue Q.
I don't even... This is a generation thing. There's 10 years between us. Ryan's about 19, so there's 20 years between us.
I wish I was 19.
Yeah. I don't think he's quite that young. But yeah, no, Avenue Q is up there. It did really well on Broadway, eventually come to the UK, and it ran here for about 4 or 5 years, had a decent run. It was really successful. And it has gone tour a few times. So yeah, it's definitely one that I'd recommend, and I think you would definitely appreciate, Craig. You would definitely love Ryan.
Actually. It sounds amazing. I can't believe I've not seen it.
Well, in fact, it was Avenue Q. It was watching Avenue Q that got Matt and Trey thinking about the Book of Mormon, which is why they worked with Robert Lopez on it.
That makes sense.
It was seeing that when we've got to do this, and it was, I think they, if I remember rightly, they saw it around the time of making Team America. So,
which is a phenomenal film.
Exactly. So all kind of fell into place. So yeah, that's my first pick.
Is that a musical?
No.
Team America?
Should be.
It's only got a few, like, it's got a few songs in it, and a few excellent songs, but it's not enough. But it's not enough to be a musical. You need more than like 3 songs to be considered a musical film.
Yeah. Oh.
God damn you, Hambrick!
No, Damon.
I'm sure we'll win.
Oh, right. Well, my picks are crap compared to yours, because you're like all trendy. Mine goes right back to the 90s, to when me and Kerry were kidless, and because of our free train travel, used to go down to London just for a dirty weekend. And
oh, shit, you're going to say the one I was going to say, Craig. I know it already.
No, I'm not. I don't think anyone will say this one now. It's Whistle Down the Wind.
Oh, no, thank God for that. No.
Now, I can't even remember much about it. I just remember the whole sort of weekend and saving up to go and going down on shitty old British Rail trains and all that palaver. But
I know a little bit about Whistle Down the Wind.
I don't know anything about it.
It's Andrew Lloyd Webber.
So that guarantees it's shit. Yeah.
It's wasn't it Steinman that had something to do with it as well?
I'm pretty sure you're right. And the only thing I remember from it is when they were trying to get it backed, they started releasing songs from the musical in a way of drumming up interest. And Boyzone had a number one hit with
"No Matter What You Tell Me."
Yeah, and that was what got the musical financed in the end.
Is that how it happened?
Yeah, I'm almost certain. I went down. You know, like sometimes you go down the rabbit hole. I went down the rabbit hole a few months ago about Lloyd Webber because I think I was reading how he like plagiarizes a load of stuff, and I just started reading about a lot of his musicals that had flopped, and that was one that really hadn't been very successful. And I'm sure I read that they got their financing by releasing songs, which actually is quite common. I didn't realize how common it was, but like things like Chess and Evita, they released songs from those musicals before they were even performed as musicals as a way of drumming up interest.
Do you remember that pop video from Chess? Think oh, in the head of our city and a ping ping pong in a fiddle way of city. It used to be on our Top of the Pops video that we used to have, that we used to tape songs on.
So I only know of that because of Ralph Garman talking about it recently, but that is exactly what happened. That song was released a year before they managed to even get it staged in London as a musical. They released it. By the way, it doesn't sound just like that. When you actually see the musical, it's actually legible. But they released it as like singles. They released that and I think, was it I Know Him So Well? Was that from
now
Chess as well?
I know him well. Yeah.
But they were both released.
I think I had my first
one to that. Oh my God. They were both,
that's,
they were both released
yeah, nice.
To drum funding for that musical.
I also just realised why we don't see much of Lloyd Webber on TV.
Ugly fucker?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, did he make that white mask for himself?
He looks like Addy Redknapp has been hit by a van.
The whole fleet of Royal Mail, I think.
I reckon that the Disney animators were having a field day when they were coming up with ideas for how they should draw the Hunchback of Notre Dame. He does look like animated Quasimodo.
He does, he really does.
Somewhere in a mansion, Andrew Lloyd Webber is now cutting radishes for his salad. Listening to this episode, rolling a single tear.
Well, you know, that reminds me of my favourite Andrew Lloyd Webber joke.
Go on.
Andrew Lloyd Webber walks into Burger King and says, can I get two Whoppers? So the cashier went, yeah, you're good looking and your musicals are great.
Oh.
I thank you.
Oh, hail all night. Later on, gentlemen.
So you don't actually remember Whistle Down the Wind, you just remember, like, the experience.
I remember it was a stranger in a barn who said he was Jesus. Something about that. And he charmed the kids. So it was like the Peter Piper. He pickled them, I think.
I'll be honest, Craig, you are not sending it to me.
This sounds absolutely terrifying.
It sounds absolutely shit, yeah.
It was a good night, that's all I'll say. It was a good night. We enjoyed ourselves. So come on, Ryan. Final choice. It's going to be fucking wacky as fuck.
It's not actually, but yeah, sorry about that. It was almost Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Almost.
Oh, okay.
Phenomenal.
Because the Oompa Loompas, I thought, were brilliant, but It ended up being The Lion King because
discovered Amanda.
It was the... Oh, really?
She was one of the Oompa Loompas. She was the tall one at the end.
She weren't the tall one.
Go on, sorry. The Lion King, yeah.
It was the first musical I saw.
Lion King was the first musical you saw?
Yeah, the first musical I ever saw.
Well, every musical after that is a letdown, surely.
I mean, it's just brilliant, isn't it? Obviously, it's still about today, but it's just so good. I think it's Disney musical production at its best.
I only saw it this year for the first time.
Oh, really?
I was a bit disappointed, I'll be honest.
Oh, fuck off.
You. I think because the way that people, you know, it's been going for 20 years now.
Mm.
And I think because it's had 20 years of accolades and how wonderful it is and everything like that, I thought it was very good. And I think it's very clever. And I think the staging is very good.
Amazing.
But I think the problem is that unlike the Book of Mormon or Avenue Q, or to a lesser extent, that one you just talked about, you know the Lion King.
Yeah.
And the new songs they put in it aren't particularly great.
No, it's very hard act
to follow. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, the Lion King has got some of the greatest Disney movie songs probably out there. But yeah, it just, I thought it was very good. And had I seen it 20 years before, I'd probably be in complete awe of it. But I just thought it was good.
I can understand where you're coming from. I think for me, it's probably only made the list, A, because The Lion King is probably in my top three Disney animated movies, and it was the first musical I went to see. So I think, like, for that reason, it kind of makes its way there, and it's a difficult one to follow. And like, I can't remember when I saw it, maybe, like, 10 years ago. It was obviously, but probably like 10 years in by then, but still very much, very incredibly popular. I was blown away by, like, the I don't know what you call the puppets, I guess. They're really, really good. The way they handle some of the scenes from the movie, like the death scene, I thought was very well done.
Yeah, and the cost, you say, like, the costumes and stuff like that, yeah, is great. I mean,
they're brilliant.
When you turn around and hear The Lion King is going to be a musical, you're like, oh, this is going to be shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I will say this, like, I'll go back to the film thing, because I did forget to mention this. I really love, as a musical, well, it's a bit of a weird one, a film called Across the Universe.
Yeah, Beatles, yeah.
Yeah, which is directed by Julie Taymor, who was the director. She was the director of The Lion King.
First film I ever bought on iTunes.
Oh, really? I really like that film. It's very underrated. It really flopped. Like, it didn't get a proper release anywhere. But I really like it.
Eddie Izzard was stunning.
I just like the whole film. But yeah, she directed that, and you can see, like, she's very artistic. You can tell that in that film. And obviously, she made The Lion King what it was. And she's never really had a hit as big as The Lion King. You know, she later went on to do that Spider-Man musical. Well,
they took the piss out of that on South Park as well.
Yeah, they can't all be winners. but yeah, so I understand why it's held in such prestige. And to be honest, it's going to last longer. The Lion King will last longer than, like, Aladdin. Everyone I've seen Aladdin has kind of said it's nowhere near as good as The Lion King.
I enjoyed Aladdin, but it felt very much like a panto.
Oh, no, it didn't.
Oh, yes, it did.
That's what everyone I know that's has said that. It feels very pantomime-y.
I loved it, but it is weirdly panto.
The Frozen musical. I've seen some clips of the Frozen musical because they were showing that on Good Morning America recently or something. They were showing some of the performances from the musical.
Mm.
That is very, very well done. The effects in that are incredible. I think when that comes out over in the UK, that will be a hot ticket.
I would like to go and see that.
Yeah, I just don't think Aladdin's going to have the legs that The Lion King will do. But no, I mean, I do really recommend it. I do think it's worth seeing. Just very well done.
Who's next?
I can go next.
Go on then.
Mine's a little bit out of left field.
Go on.
I might be running your parade, Craig, because it's from your homeland. My second pick is Blood Brothers.
Oh, that was going to be in mine, and I didn't want to bring the episode down.
I'm not sure if I've seen it once or twice, Blood Brothers.
I've seen it twice.
It's just such a really well done musical. Very simple staging. Like, you know, Book of Mormon has got quite a lot of big stage effects. Lion King, obviously, is like almost the king of it. Blood Brothers, in relative terms, is quite simple in how it's executed. but just as a musical, I think is just really well done. Again, a musical really relies on the strength of its numbers. And Blood Brothers has such great songs in it, such memorable songs in it. And I just hadn't really seen anything like it before or since. I think it's a real good piece of work. And it lasted forever.
It's still like, tours it, now. It's still tours now.
Yeah, but I mean, in the West End, I think it was on in the West End for about 17 or 18 years in total.
It had a good old 1983.
Yeah. And I think it had a break while I did the first national tour, but then it was in London like for a long time after. And like, it's really good. Have you seen it, Ryan?
No, I've never seen it. I've always heard good things about it, but I never got around to seeing it.
Yeah, I don't even know what made me go and see it, to be honest, but I really, really liked it. Yeah, really recommend it.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Piece of work. Bill Kenwright, Everton.
It was really, was it Willy Rushton?
Yeah.
Willy Russell.
That's Willy Russell.
Bill Kenwright had something to do with it, surely.
I think he staged it. Like, I think he was like the producer, like the Andrew Lloyd Webber type behind it.
Yeah,
he's got his hand in a lot of musicals like that. But yeah, so yeah, Blood Brothers.
Fantastic. I've flip flopped, you see. Because I loved Aladdin and that was in there. But then yous have just fucking shouted it down, said it was shit.
It's shit. I enjoyed it.
So I'm going to stick with that then, because my other choice was Oliver from the 90s. I think it was on the Palladium we went to see it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Oliver. Oliver is one of my all-time favourite musical films.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't make the cut in this because it was only the top two. And to see it on the stage and to see Fagin getting played by...
Ryan Atkinson?
No. Before that, it was the fella who, Citizen Smith.
Robert Lindsay.
It was absolutely...
Oh, that would have been amazing.
It was amazing. The stage, just the sets, everything about it. And again, it was the 90s, it was me and Ian, no kids, down... In our youth, in our 20s, going to watch musicals. We used to go down every December. We used to watch a musical, go shop and get pissed. We used to have a lovely weekend once a year down in the Big Smoke. And so I'll go with Oliver.
Cool.
I don't know if it's still... I think it's still out there.
It's not on in London at the moment.
Comes back every now and again, doesn't it?
Yeah. You'll probably find it locally somewhere. Like,
it's such a classic.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's exactly what it is. It's just a classic. So, you're the next generation of musicals because your musicals are off the fucking head.
If this was about musicals I liked, I would have gone with Hamilton. But I haven't seen Hamilton, which is why I couldn't go for it. But I've listened to the soundtrack to Hamilton and like, it just sounds amazing.
Everyone is going nuts for that at the moment as well.
I was listening to when it first came out in America, I was listening to a podcast where people were talking about it. Like, there was some comedians talking about how they bought it and started listening to it while they were waiting to go and see it. And I was like, well, how good can this musical be? And I just heard the first number and I was like, wow, what is this? Because it was like nothing I'd ever heard. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is...
Yep.
He's just everywhere now.
He's like, Mary Poppins, isn't he? He's going to be in late this year.
Yeah, and he co-wrote songs for Moana.
Yep.
Hamilton, is it the original Broadway or the Hamilton mixtape?
No, the original Broadway. The Hamilton mixtape is like it sounds a bit more...
pop stars.
Remixed. Yeah. Although saying that, Weird Al Yankovic did one for part of the Hamilton mixtape. Okay. He did a polka for it, which is amazing.
Well, I've just downloaded it now. There's a lot of songs.
Yeah, it's a long, it's a proper musical.
46 songs.
The opening number is Alexander Hamilton, and it's great. And I mean, the whole thing about it is it talks about someone who kind of got a little bit lost in American history, wasn't that well known. The story wasn't that well known. And this is like a kind of hip hopera about him.
Has Kevin Smith talked about this?
I'd imagine so at some point, probably, like so most
Is this on in London?
Yeah, yes, very recently, isn't it? Well,
yeah, I think it was last Christmas
started.
And, I mean, it's got no name cast at all. Well, the Broadway version had a few names in it, but not many. But the UK one has had no names in it at all and is, like, just the hottest ticket in town. You cannot buy a ticket for love nor money. They sell out as soon as they put on extra dates.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while before I see it. It's almost as popular, I'd say, as Harry Potter. You know, the Harry Potter Cursed Child show. It's hard to buy tickets for.
Well, I've just downloaded it.
I'm going to listen to it on Spotify after this.
Nice one, Nick, you knobhead.
We're in your lives.
So, I'm going to wind this episode up. What do you reckon?
I fucking love musicals. The thing is, I think what's interesting is we've got three, as far as I know, heterosexual males on the show. And I think certainly when I was growing up, if you admitted to liking musicals, you were like, oh, what, are you gay or something?
Yeah.
I think now, like, people just, like, accept musicals as being this amazing art form. I mean, I could have mentioned so many more musicals tonight that I'd seen. Like, I remember seeing Fame the Musical a few times, which I thought was an excellent musical.
I know you've mocked the High School Musical ones, but all three High School Musicals are stunning.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, my friends, like Y2, was obsessed with High School Musical when it came out. He loved them all. I just couldn't get into them. Like, I just felt they were like a little bit below. And I mean, the thing is, I know there's good songs in it. I just think I found the whole concept of it a bit too cheesy for me to really get. But that's the thing. Like, there are musicals that I love that other people won't love, and vice versa. I mean, it's fairly diverse in that way. But I think the thing is that it's really kind of acceptable now that people can just enjoy musicals without, fear of being slagged off about it.
Yeah.
About it openly now without having to justify why you're watching a musical.
Yeah, no, I agree. I love musicals as well. I probably don't go to see as much as I would like to.
No, they're expensive.
They are very expensive. But whenever I get the chance to check out a new one in London, I will go and do it. And obviously, in terms of films, there's so many that we could have mentioned. There's so many classics. But yeah, I'm a big fan of musicals.
So let us know what you like, listener. Especially you, Brendan Moore. Who's probably now listening to this wanking into a pair of his wife's knickers on his face. But he wanted a shout-out. He never has a shout-out, apparently. So he listens.
So someone wanted a shout-out, so you thought you'd give him the worst shout-out you could possibly imagine.
To be fair, though, if they're on his face, he's got a good shot on him.
That is good aim, yeah.
Oh, he's very virile for a man in his 50s.
Just at his age as well, my God.
So we'll be listening to this on a train now somewhere. He likes to listen to them while he's travelling from Chester to Liverpool as a passenger, obviously not as a train driver, as a passenger. When he's finished his night train, he lets us come in his ears.
That's nice. Thank you very much, Brian.
Yeah, he lets me come in his ears when we're on night together. Normally he's asleep, he doesn't know anything about it, but that's another story for another podcast.
Hope not. Jesus Christ.
I just need somebody to say the immortal words.
Kew Gardens? No. Cue the music.
There you go. Jobs is golden.
Good days, bad days, just take them as they come along. Well, I say, you say, don't even matter to me. somewhere in between, and we will be okay. High ground, low ground, I like the middle, so you can meet me there. Smiling on the other side, smiling on the other side. Sad dreams. Have another bit, then you can just forget. Love town, downtown, I couldn't care less. Just tell me where to be, and I'll be there. Smiling on the other.
And a boss haircut.